Well, hello, everyone. My name is John Paul, and welcome to another edition of AAA Car Chats. And this time it is with Jim Bombeck. Jim Bombeck is with Ford Motor Company. He's the Vice President of Product Line Management. I don't even know what that means, Jim. Can you do a quick explanation of what Vice President of Enterprise Product Line Management means?
Effectively, we are managing our individual vehicle line businesses as businesses. So it's kind of like an end-to-end responsibility. So think of Ford Trucks as one big business, separate from something like our Icons business, which would be like Mustang and Bronco vehicle lines as a separate business.
Gotcha. Perfect. And, you know, we've been in a weird time. I've been working at home since the middle of March, like many people have, because of COVID. And engineers look at things differently than the rest of the world. I'm convinced of that whenever I talk to an engineer. And, you know, there was a real shortage of ventilators. And Ford Motor Company and their resources, which, and by resources, I mean their engineering team, came up with a really interesting solution to try to help the medical field. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, it was really such an amazing effort. In just a couple of days, literally, there was a groundswell within the company around, we're facing this massive pandemic. It was really unclear how we were going to address the needs. There was a narrative, I would say, in the general media around the need for ventilators, given the number of caseloads were increasing and deaths were increasing. And so we kind of got together and, you know, part of our DNA at Ford's always been just, we actually literally had the conversation, you know, and back in the World War, we spent time building bombers. So we could build bombers and there's this need, we can find a way to build ventilators. And there's very few companies, and Bill Ford said this perfectly, very few companies that you know, build high volume products that are very complex. There's a lot of companies out there that build you know, products that are very technical, highly complex, but at much lower volume. And that's where the automotive industry and automotive manufacturing is uniquely positioned. These are very complex machines at very high volume. And that's what we needed at the time. So it really just was a quick set of tour of asking people what was needed, when was it needed. And then within 2 days, we were actually having discussions with General Electric around how do we find the right design that we could scale very, very fast to support the need.
And you call it the Apollo Project, and it's kind of an interesting reason. Can you explain to us why it's called the Apollo Project?
Yeah, it really it was inspired by, you know, the scene in the movie on Apollo 13 where I think there's an issue in the spaceship around oxygen, and there's that scene where we're trying to figure out, and the assignment from the head of mission control, or literally to the team, is go figure out how to put a square peg in a round hole. And that scene where everybody dumps all the equipment on a table and they just got to use what they have available to them, right? How do they find a way? And if you think about it, at the time, the manufacturing plants, the auto plants were down. And in the one of the first calls, actually the second day when we decided we're just going to go figure out where and how we could help, I was in a discussion. I was lucky enough to participate in a discussion with one of the staffers in the White House. And in that discussion, one of the doctors that was consulting with the White House quickly kind of took over the call and was expressing his concern, mm-hmm. More so that we needed ventilators. But actually, he said they were concerned around the healthcare workers in the ICU wards were actually starting to contract the virus. And the view was, while they were wearing respirators over their mouth and nose, that when the virus went into an aerosol in the air, it could adhere to the fluid in their eyes and they can contract the virus in that mechanism. And so that really kind of initiated two streams. One of how could we do something quick, like simple plastic face shields that would provide additional layers of protection when used with a disposable respirator. And we were off and running. We were prototyping, testing parts to scale that up. And in the end, we shipped 21 million or just over 20 million face shields to first line workers, healthcare workers, folks that were really dealing with this on the front line. And the second part of this was a powered air purifying respirator. So the maximum protection would be a sealed unit around, say, a healthcare worker's head, where it draws in fresh air, and it filters and it pumps fresh air to keep any contaminant out. Mm-hmm. And they described that the Department of Defense was trying to figure out how to do this because, again, very similar theme. The medical supply equipment is at very low volume. We're talking 3,000 to 5,000. But if you need something in the 20, 30, 40, 50,000 level, you got to think about it differently. And so right there was the kind of genesis of the idea. We have fantastic engineers that know air handling in vehicles. So the basic premise of drawing in fresh air, filtering it, circulating it, is what air handling in a vehicle is. And so out of that meeting, we got our climate control and air handling teams together and said, what do we have? So back to the yep. Apollo reference, we have motors, like fan blowers in a F-150 seat. We have a HEPA filter and filtering that we use in a climate control system. We know how to actually sew seat covers so we can create these head top units and obviously connect it with a hose. And so I think within 36 hours, we had a prototype using the off-the-shelf equipment, which we knew, because we build so many F-150s, one every second, we could get those parts, and they're sitting there on the line, and there's a whole supply chain available. So it really was this inspiration of, we got to use what we got.
Yeah.
And how do we take that and the fundamental first principles of something like a PAPR and design one? And boy, talk about inspirational. That team went from that idea to a National Institute of Occupational Health and Safety approved limited use PAPR in 38 days.
That's amazing. You think about what happens in whether it's general manufacturing or the automotive industry, it takes time. There's prototyping, there's a lot of things. Your staff must have worked just nonstop prototyping this. I mean, like you said, you had a prototype in just a couple of days, but there's always tweaks in the prototype. But to be able to go from, you know, zero to complete in that short a period of time really just shows, I guess, not just the talent, but how passionate they were about trying to get this done.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's most important is in a time of need, and it's kind of wired into our DNA at Ford, in a time of need, we've always been there and we always will be there. And so in something like this, the mission is so clear that the teams just kind of get together. They bring what skill and expertise they can to the problem. And it's all about finding a way, right? And I remember there was this really, really impactful chart that was kind of a rallying cry as we were thinking about this. So you think about these amazing, inspirational healthcare workers that are fighting this with a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
You think about all the victims of the virus and the families that are impacted. And there was this curve that showed the projected number of deaths that were going to happen in the time frame from April, May, June, July. And when you started tracking this and looking at just how quickly this thing was actually going asymptotic, it was scary. But from our perspective, the clarity of that mission was every day counted, every minute counted. And to the extent that we could help save a life, whether it was a patient afflicted by this deadly disease or these incredibly inspirational healthcare workers that were just fighting the battle every day, you just had to do anything and everything you could to kind of help out.
And I would think part of what you have done might also, you know, you created this device, you created face shields. You said, you know, 20 million face shields that you sent out. Did some of that kind of reflect back into the line workers that, like, hey, maybe we ought to put face shields on our folks too, or other things that you're doing internally within Ford now that maybe you looked at health and safety a little bit differently?
Yeah, I I'm glad you mentioned it. Talk about inspirational. Our UAW partners, these are folks that just volunteered to actually come in, again, similar unknowns, to just find a way to help out for the greater good. And I couldn't be more inspired by their willingness to just jump in. And what we did is we used all of the known information at the time to develop our, you know, safe practice protocol. So we were using the equipment that we were actually developing with appropriate social distancing standards and the like. And that really kind of fed some of our return to work standards that we think have been, you know, very strong, and they're very focused on making sure keeping our employees safe, which is one of our most important assets as our people.
Yeah. And when you look at 20 million of something, distributing 20 million is a hard thing as well. So you had to figure out, okay, we made 20 million. Now we got to make sure we get them out to the right hands. And again, somebody, you know, the small medical supplier or manufacturer just isn't prepared to ship those kind of products. But a big company like Ford Motor Company, you're right, you're more in tune with getting products moving quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Even that, I mean, what's really amazing, and this is things that we're taking back, just even to the way we execute our business, is you have to kind of create this environment where innovation can thrive. And so I'll take the example of distribution. You know, we were trying to find out how do we get the right equipment to the right location at the right time to help as best we could. And surprisingly, that was difficult. It was very difficult. So, you know, we had a group that was, you know, roughly ebbed and flowed from 3 to 5 people, not distribution experts, but working with some of our material and logistics planning team members. We reached out and we almost kind of created our own little consortium using hospital networks. So some of the large hospital networks and alliances, we basically plugged in, got them together, identified, you know, based on CDC information and the information we were getting from these healthcare networks, where the biggest need and hotspots were. And that's how we were disseminating this equipment to get it out there. The goal getting as much out to the front line as possible to help as much as we could.
Yeah, it's really an amazing story. And if people want to find out more information, is this almost turning into a short film?
Yeah, so it was really great. There's a very short documentary that Peter Berg took an interest in, just what we were doing, just the whole way that we pivoted and identified, you know, where's the need, what's the pattern, how do we move. And there is a short documentary that is being published and telling part of the story. It captures the essence of really an amazing effort by a lot of people. And one of my biggest challenges the entire time, and this is where you kind of really see the soul of people and the power of working together, is the number of suppliers, employees, and just partners in the industry that were reaching out and saying, hey, if you need help, let us know. And I joke often, it was almost like I had my own personal bat phone. Whenever we ran into a problem, we had literally a list of suppliers that offered help. We could call somebody, and on a dime, people just dropped everything, identified what they needed to do to just help out and get us moving forward to just, you know, deliver the mission, get stuff out to those healthcare workers.
Pretty amazing story. Jim, I want to thank you for taking a little time out of your day and sharing the story with us. And thank you and the folks at Ford Motor Company for helping keep our healthcare workers safe.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.